Good morning, y'all. How are we all doing? Strange times we're living in. War between Russia and Ukraine, cost of living crisis. We're all kind of, when we were younger, we're all afraid of the dark. Now we're all afraid of the lights when we get our electricity bill. But I hope you're doing well, because I want to talk to you today about something that I feel is on a lot of people's minds, people I talk with on the street. And I want to talk to those especially who feel like quitting. Maybe you feel like throwing in the towel. It might be you feel like quitting on a dream. You thought one day you could and you would, but now you think there's just no way. Maybe it's in a job that you felt God wanted you to do, but no matter how hard you try, it just doesn't come through. Things just don't seem to be working out. Or it could be your kids who are young adults. You don't want to give up on them, but you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and you just don't see any way that they're going to change. You don't see any way that they're come to be a better person. It could be an addiction that you've tried to overcome. You've prayed, you've fought, and you've dedicated yourself to the program, and you've rededicated yourself to the program, and you've tried again, but you can't seem to put it behind you. You can't seem to break that chain. Or it simply could be your prayer for someone else to come to faith. A prayer that you've been praying for someone to come to church. And the harder you pray, the further they seem to get from God, the further they seem to just turn away from church, from life, from religion. And for some, it just might be life. You've done everything you can to hang in there, and it feels like life is just too much. So this message today is for someone who's tried, who's prayed and believed and feel like they've got nothing left. And probably more importantly, this is a message for me. So it's my prayer for you that God's word will speak to you today. I'm just going to read briefly from Hebrews chapter 10. So do not throw away this confidence, trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patience, endurance is what you need now, so that you will not continue to do God's will, that you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. So do not throw away your confidence, the word tells us. It will be richly rewarded. You need to do what? You need to persevere. You need to persevere. You need to keep going. You need to keep trusting. You need to keep believing. You need to hang in there. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. How many of you have noticed that God is rarely early, but he's never late? So I'm just going to pray now quickly. Father, we ask that your word would speak life and faith, that we could persevere by your power, so that when we've done the will of God, we will receive what you have promised. And we pray this in Jesus' name. I want to share some good news to those of you who know that God has more for you and you're tired of settling for less. You know, I was involved in the fight game. I was following Thai boxing, K1 kickboxing. I had a gym for a long time in Dungarvan. And during some time, I did some research on the following questions. Why do successful people succeed? What separates gold from silver? What separates champions from runners-up? Now, there's a movie out there, quite a funny one, Talladega Nights. And there's a quote in the movie, I think it's Ricky Bobby, says, "If you're not first, you're last." So, I mean, if I was to ask you now, who won the gold medal at the 100 metres in the Olympics, you could probably answer. Most people could answer that. But I've asked you who came second, which struggle, or third. So let me ask a question. Why are some people successful and others aren't? I wrote a seminar on this, and I used to give it to the schools, and I gave it to gyms all around the county, and it was quite a good program. And I discovered, one of the things I discovered when writing this program, it wasn't the IQ, it wasn't the intelligent quotient, but instead it was the AQ, the adversity quotient. It wasn't in just how smart they were, but as how much they could overcome. Not the IQ, but the AQ. And one of the things they all had in common was passion and perseverance for long-term goals. And I like this. Because passion meaning I'm excited about it. But it's not just passion, it's perseverance. And it's not just perseverance for a short season, but it's perseverance for long-term goals. We're not talking about perseverance just like for a couple of days or a few weeks. We're talking about serving when you find yourself broke, busted and disgusted when you hit that wall. And when it's easier to walk away, we're talking about the virtue of perseverance. So I want to show you a very powerful story that I believe could give many of you the faith to go on when it would be easier to quit. So I want to turn to the Bible, to Joshua chapter 6. We're going back to the Old Testament. So let me read it. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in, but the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times, with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can, then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into them. So Joshua called all together the priests and said, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant. Assign 7 priests and walk in front of it, carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave the orders to people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns and some behind the ark, with the priests continued blowing the horns. Do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once a day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. So we look at this in Joshua chapter 6, 1. The gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. So here you've got Jericho, this city. You've got these big walls, and no one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, and we kind of miss this. This is what God says. I have given you Jericho. Not I will give you Jericho. I have given you Jericho, its king, and its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. This is your assignment. The Bible went on to say, 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you're to march around the town, 7 times with the priest blowing the horn. When you hear the priest give one long blast, on the ram's horns have all the people shout. So maybe at times we've got to practice how to shout. And all the people would shout as loud as they can, and the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. You see, the assignment was simple. Walk around the walls one time a day. On the 7th day, walk around it 7 times. Shout, blow your horns, and the walls will come tumbling down. Simple instructions. We don't have to do much here. We don't have to take sledgehammers and break down the walls. The assignment was simple. So why do we give up when God has promised us so much? Why do we find it hard to keep going and often lose our trust in the promises of God? And I want to show you 2 reasons that are very, very common. Why do we give up? The first reason is because our perspective is often limited. Our perspective is almost often limited. For example, let's talk about Jericho for a moment. Jericho's not a very big city. In fact, you could walk around the city in about an hour or so. So we're probably talking a circumference of 5 kilometres. So the problem wasn't that the city was big. The issue was that the walls were high. And if you can imagine, the Israelites were so close to their promise, it was just on the other side of those high walls. But these high walls were so high, it seemed to them that the promise was impossible to obtain. And maybe some of you can relate to that. There are those of you, like, you know what I want. You've got a dream. You've got a vision. You've got a place that you'd like to be. You know what you want to have. But all you can see in your life is walls, obstacles, and the problems. I know this is where I want to be. In fact, I believe that's where God wants me to be. But all you can see is that which is keeping you from the promise. And here's what's interesting. If you remember in the text in verse 1, it's fascinating because it says, Jericho was securely barred. It said no one could go in and no one could go out. But in verse 2, God says, I've given you Jericho. Verse 1 says, you can't go in. Verse 2 says, I've already given it to you, God says. Why did he do that? Because God is the only one who can tell you what is when what is isn't yet. I wonder if some of you might be in a situation like that in your own life, where what God says about you is different than what you see about you. What God says about you is different than what you feel about you even now. In other words, God may say you're healed and yet you feel broken. God might say you're blessed but you feel like he's forgotten you. God might say that you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of your testimony, but you feel like you're overcome every second day, single day. And like, life is too much. Why is that? Because our perspective is often very, very limited. It's like the Israelites. If you notice, they don't know the end of the story. God told Joshua, but Joshua didn't tell them. He just said, go march around the walls. Get up on Monday, and on Monday, march around the city once. Get up on Tuesday, and on Tuesday, march around the city once. Get up on Wednesday, march around the city once, and do that for 6 days. It's just like a 7-day joy hike. But you see, there's more to this. This was more than the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, wondering, where are you, God? And we're ready, and you promised, and you haven't. And we believe you will. And we're rising back up and we're hanging in there. We don't want to give up and we don't see it. But we're soaring back up and we're going to still believe. So often when you look on others, you see their success and you see their victory lap. And you don't know the price they paid. And you don't know the pain they endured. And you don't know the story behind the story. You can't even imagine the private battles and the personal sacrifices of someone who continues to believe God even when they don't see the promise, which he assures will come true. It's called perseverance. It's the price. It's the private cost. So why do we give up? So often, our perspective is limited. Take your eyes off the high walls and put your eyes on God. Take your eyes off the obstacles in front of you and lift your eyes up to God. And the second point I want to make, our progress isn't always obvious. 40 years they marched around the wilderness, not knowing where they're going to end up. And their progress wasn't obvious. So if we go back to the Bible, and we look in this chapter, the Bible says this: Joshua had commanded to the army, do not give a war cry and do not raise your voices. Now, once you get there, you can shout. But at the first instance, just shut up, is what he says. Don't say a thing. Don't say a word. Don't even say, hey, where's everybody? How's it going? Hey, man, you look so fly. Don't say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. Don't say a word until that very moment I tell you to shout, and then shout as loud as you can. So he had the Ark of the Covenant carried around the city, circling it once. And the Bible tells us, then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. And they did this somewhat stupid assignment for 6 days. Can you imagine their frustration? You're not just doing something that seems pointless, like walking around the stupid city. This was decades of waiting, decades of trusting. These are warriors. These are men trained for battle and they're ready for war. And what were they told to do? Go take a morning walk around the city. That would be embarrassing. Into the day, and they were sitting there playing cards or whatever these mighty warriors played, and their wife texts them, hey warrior, hey brave husband, you know what, I can't wait for you to come home and you can show me your scars, your rewards from the battle. What did you do today anyway? Did you kill some bad guys? Well, no love, we were just warming up, we're just stretching for the muscle. In fact, we just went for a walk, but the battle is coming. And they walked around one day and they walked around the next and they didn't see anything. They didn't see progress. They saw no evidence that God was with them. Wouldn't have been so cool if God had made on the first day they walked round like a seventh of the wall fell down. And now there's 6/7 left. Just keep on going. We would have got excited about that. It's almost like playing a video game. Level up. I've hit level 1, now we're on to level 2, and we could see it. But no, just keep on going. Because if you believe, if you see some progress, right, you can endure the pain. But they're just walking out there, not seeing any progress at all. And then what does Joshua do? Hey guys, you're not even allowed to talk. Don't raise your voices. Don't say a word. And I raise the question for me. Why do you think Joshua kept them from talking? Now, I can't be sure because it wasn't there. But maybe, just maybe, it's because he knows that sometimes our mouth can be our worst enemy. Can you imagine if they were allowed to talk? Day 1 would have been fine, there'd been a bit of excitement. Day 2, it'd have been okay. Day 3, hey brother, this is stupid. Joshua's lost his damn mind. Like, we're going to put up with this every day? I ain't doing this every day because this is so stupid. 40 years we've been serving God and nothing happened. 40 years we've been walking in the desert. Now we're going to walk around this stupid town for once a day? I don't know where he is and I don't know what he's doing, but my feet are hurting and this is stupid. I came out here to fight and I'm not doing this stuff. And I don't know if you're going to do this, but this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Where's God? Why hasn't he come through by now? I don't think it's coming through at all. Things are bad. They're going to get worse. That's a bit like today. We're looking at things are bad and they're going to get worse. And that's why sometimes you just got to tell yourself to shut up and keep doing what God has told you to do. Sometimes you just got to speak to yourself. Shut your mouth and keep on marching. Shut up and keep trusting. Shut up and keep praying. Shut up and keep loving someone who seems lovable. Shut up and keep on forgiving. And shut up and show back up when everyone else runs off. Sometimes you just got to talk to yourself and say, flesh, I don't believe you. I'm choosing faith. Circumstances, I don't believe you right now. I'm choosing God because I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith. Shut up, feelings. I'm trusting God. And what's interesting again is if you note, God told Joshua the process would take 7 days, but Joshua didn't tell the people. And this is frustrating when there's no end in sight. When you're doing the right thing and it doesn't seem to make a difference. It is so much easier to honour God. It is so much easier to do what's right. It is so much easier to stay the course when you feel like it's working and when it pays off. In other words, you can take the pain when you know God is still working. So where's God in times like this? Where is God when you don't see him? Perhaps, and just maybe, God is building your faith. Maybe God is taking you deeper so your faith grows stronger. Maybe God is teaching you to depend on him even when they don't see the results. He's building your faith. And what I've learned is this, that God often does something in you before he does something for you. A brother in the Lord asked me the other day how I was doing and replied, do you know what? I'm hanging on by a thread. It's been a tough, tough year for me. And I'm thinking, maybe I should do something else. Maybe this is too much. But midway through the year, I started just wondering, do I still have what it takes? Am I still the person? Does God want me to do this? Because somebody else can do it better. And I don't think I'm doing very good. And I kind of looked at the towel and thought for the first time, maybe it's time to throw it in. I couldn't hear from God. And like I'm saying, God, give me something. Let me see a little bit of progress. Give me anything. And there was the longest time when I just couldn't hear anything. Like, give me a word or something. I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. I can't hear these words. And I didn't like them. And then I heard just God say, hold fast. And that kind of brought me back to center. And what I realized is that whenever you're tempted to quit, it's always good to remember why you started. I remember I didn't get into this for easy time, and I didn't get into it to be popular. I didn't get into it to be liked. I came to y'all because I came into this town to help the people that are lost and dying and need help. and they need salvation. And that help comes from the name of Jesus. And it's about him and it's not about me. And so in those, some of those very low moments, racked with private depression and just hurting, I looked at a towel in the same way you might look at a towel and you can throw it in or you can pick it up and wipe the sweat off your face and keep marching around and trusting God. So I want to tell someone who's listening, someone who's been faithful for a long time, you've been trusting God, you've been praying, you've been believing, and you're still not seeing the promise. And I want to tell you, you may be closer than you think. You just may be closer than you think. And I'm reminded of a woman called Florence Chadwick, an amazing, amazing woman. The first woman to swim the English Channel both ways, an incredible accomplishment. In 1952, Chadwick decided to attempt a 26-mile swim between the California coastline and the Catalina Island. And 15 hours into this grueling swim, a heavy fog settled in and she lost her bearing. And she couldn't see and she became confused and exhausted and discouraged. And she wanted to get in the boat and they said, keep swimming, keep swimming, keep swimming, keep swimming. And she couldn't take it anymore. And she threw in the towel and she quit. And it wasn't until she got into the boat, she could hear everybody there shouting and screaming and cheering. And she then realised that the shore was less than a half a mile away. So I don't know who this is for, but maybe you're closer than you think. Our key text from Hebrews, as I read earlier, is you need to persevere. You need to keep going. And you may be saying, God, I'm trying to hang on. I'm like Habakkuk, where are you, God? Do you not hear my cry? Why do you let the innocent suffer? I don't understand, God. I don't see you. And I'm running around the third lap and I'm continuing to go. And God, I don't see anything. All I see is the walls. All I see is obstacles. And God, I don't feel you. I don't feel like I've heard from you. And I'm on day four and I'm continuing to trust God. And now I'm discouraged. Now I'm wondering, do I need to quit? Do I have it wrong? Are you really there, God? And I'm continuing to trust him and I don't feel like it right now and I'm kind of annoyed and I don't even know if he's real at this point, but somehow I get back up and I go around and as I keep going at one point before I know it, I'm actually on lap number 6 and I may be one lap away from the promise and you may be closer than you think. And that's why I came here to tell you, don't quit on 6. Don't you dare quit on 6. Don't you dare quit on 6 or quit on 5 or quit on 4 or quit on 3. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on believing for your children. Don't quit on believing for that job. Don't quit on believing for overcoming that addiction. Don't abandon God. Don't quit on 6. You may be much closer than you think. You can throw in the towel or you can pick it back up and you can wipe the sweat off your brow and keep on walking and you can keep on trusting and you can tell your feelings to shut up because you don't follow your feelings. You've got faith and you may be closer than you think. And whenever you feel like you're ready to quit, just remember where you started. And I love what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6. He said, let us not become weary in doing good. Don't let us grow weary in the march. Do not let us grow weary in the faith. Do not let us grow weary in praying and believing and trusting and hanging on when everyone else lets go. And we just keep trusting God, walking by faith and not by sight. Do not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Do not quit on 6. Let's pray. So Father, we pray today the name that is above every name, that for those who feel ready to quit, that by your power and by your spirit, you would keep us running our race, eyes focused on Jesus, doing what you call us to do. God, help each and every one of us persevere. And Father, today, I would ask that it would not be by our might nor by our power, but it would be by your spirit that you carry us. God, not by our own effort. I know we run out of it, and not even by our own faith, but by the faith that you give to us. Just help us to keep walking and trusting. And keep believing because your word is true, because your promises never fail. God, don't give up me when year after year I've turned away from your goodness. God, don't give up me when I continue to do the things against your will that broke your heart. When I did those, you still continue to pursue me. There are some of us right now that recognise that maybe God's tried to reach out to us at different points of our life, and he's doing it right now. And what is that? It's his love. It's his loving kindness. It's his goodness that he's reaching out to you with. He's not angry. He's not mad at you. He loves you. And he showed how much he loved you when he became like us, when God became flesh, when you look at Jesus, the Son of God, you want to talk about love. Jesus loved the unlovable. He touched those that religion rejected. He reached out to the lowest of the low. He reached out to the most broken, and he loved them where they were and invited them. Hey, just leave your old life and come follow me. And Jesus and his love for us, he did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He died in our place as the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. And what does he do? He asks us. He doesn't say, you gotta be perfect. He doesn't say, you gotta run to a church and do all these things. He just says, hey, leave your old life and just follow me. Just be my disciple. Just follow me. And when you follow Jesus, he forgives your sins and he makes you brand new. He gives you spiritual blessings and direction, and life may not always go the way you want it, but he is working in all things. In all things, even the bad things, to bring about good, because you love him and be called according to his purpose. Today in all of our churches, there are those of you who you recognize, I'm not in a relationship with God. I don't know him personally. Or maybe you feel guilty for something that you've done. But let me tell you, God is patient with you. His mercy never ends. His mercies are new every morning. He loves you and he's reaching out to you. And I'm just going to invite you to say yes to his invitation. Just let go of whatever is old. Let go of whatever has been hurting you. Let go of whatever has been separating you from God, and just say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give him my life. When you do, when you cry to him, he hears your prayer and he forgives every sin. That is every sin. And he makes you brand new. You're not listening by accident this morning. You're here because God loves you. You're listening. And if wherever you are, say, I need his grace. I need his grace and I'm letting go of my old life. Just give your life to Jesus. That's your prayer. Just lift your hands wherever you are right now and say, I'm giving my life to Jesus. And I'd be honoured wherever you are at any stage to pray with you. But more importantly, wherever you are, God hears your prayer. And if you're feeling comfortable, just pray, Heavenly Father, I give you my life. I give you my life. Jesus, forgive my sins, save me. I surrender my whole life to you. Fill me with your Spirit so I could know you, so I could follow you. Direct my steps. My life is not my own. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Don't quit on six. So if you ever want to get in touch and you want to let me pray for you, I'm at Breaking Bread. We're there on a Wednesday evening where we read and discuss the Bible. We answer people's questions. Friday, we have a meeting. Saturday morning, we pray. And we have the food bank. If you want to get in touch, my website is www.badboyturngood.com. My number is 087-955-1227. I'm just going to leave you with a song from Bethel Music, and it's called God, I Look to You. Until next time, God bless you.
God, I look to you, and I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, 'cause you know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. And God, I look to you, and I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision, oh, to see things like you do. God, I look to you, 'cause you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, oh, you know just what to do. And I will love you, oh Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, you are my shield.
Forever and all my days, hallelujah.